The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guests, and his callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome, everybody, to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler on Business America Radio. Well, last week we got a number of responses to our conversation with Bob Compagna of Capital Light and Supply, COS, because we were talking about organic growth. And in his case, you know, they got to 20 different locations for their electrical wholesaling business. And the point of the discussion was, what if you did it without acquisitions? What if you did it without franchising? What if you did it without strategic alliances? What if you did it without licensing? And the main point that came across over and over and over again was that it was about corporate culture, that if you really have a strong corporate culture, then you could drive geographic expansion. Well, I had kind of wondered if this topic would be a really big one. So today, what I had arranged, and I feel like, it worked. We're going to have two guests in the second segment. I'll introduce them. One is from a grocery chain. It's a family business, and they're looking at geographic expansion by having a larger store. And I know this gentleman. He's not going to settle for just one place. And a gentleman who is running a local, becoming a regional bank. And we'll hear a different version of the same kind of topic around geographic expansion without acquisitions, franchising, licensing, alliances, although there may be some acquisition consideration in it. So let's get recentered again. For those of you who maybe are new to the show, the purpose of this program is to encourage existing businesses and entrepreneurs who may have hit a plateau and want to go to that next level and maybe a little reluctant. And we're trying to expand the growth strategies of the people listening to the program, because I've found over and over that people who maybe grew last time through licensing or grew last time through an acquisition get into a habit and assume that that's the best way to grow or the only way to grow and don't consider one of maybe 25 different growth strategies. So we rotate each week through different growth strategies. One week it's geographic expansion, and the next week it's franchising, and the next week it's an IPO. And we interview people who've been there, done that. So I open each program with a little bit of information that I've seen, because I've been a growth strategist now for over 30 years. Yeah, I'm old. I get it. And give some examples from my clients. To me, in geographic expansion, there's five key things that you've got to look at. The first one is demographics of the market. Because you can get all excited and think that you need a second location, a third location, just by your ambition and wanting money. But if there isn't a marketplace that needs what you're doing in the way that you do it, you can really run out of money pretty fast and get pretty frustrated and have your to-do list get huge by having a second location, because it won't pull money towards you. It'll just feel like you're pushing, you know, punching jello, as they say. So one of the first things, if you're even inclined to think about geographic expansion, is get good at market research. How do you find a marketplace that is needing what you're doing? I'm going to give an example of this particular one, and then we'll go to the other four points. I had a client who would cook food in her garage. It was an amazing business. She'd have her kids help her, and she'd have egg salad, and she'd have meatballs, and she'd have tuna fish and things like that. And she actually serviced five little tiny stores that were in the first floors of office. You know those little stores that have four magazines for sale, two greeting cards, and you could buy two types of soda, and then they expand into lunch, and today's lunch is meatballs. You know those kind of people? She actually ended up with, I think it was 12 locations when she was done. And initially, she started in her garage. Now, to make a business like that work, with your kids making tuna fish at night, and to service these little stores, one of the reasons that it worked was for her to find the office building that had a captive audience, that people who didn't want to leave the building to go out to lunch, wait in line, sit down and have a sit-down meal. They just wanted a tuna fish sandwich, or they just wanted some meatballs. And she had to learn how to negotiate with the landlord. She had to learn, you know, what was the right size. She had to learn how to negotiate the lease, all kinds of things. But the primary thing that she knew how to do was spot the buildings. She got to the point where she knew exactly what size building would support her company, you know, exactly how many tenants. She knew if it was a, what the mix of male and female people in the building needed to be. She knew literally the almost the personality type of what the landlord needed to be like, the owner of the building, for it to work for her. So the research around how do you find the next place and know it fits before you throw money at it is a real lesson you can learn from somebody with a little business out of their garage. Timing is the next point. You can think that you're going to be growing your business by your geographic expansion, but if you time it wrong, you lose the most core business. So how would you know the timing? Well, let's go back to the phrase that I've been using to guide all these programs. To achieve accelerated growth with sustained profitability, the secret is to reverse the phrase. You got to have profitability first, then you can make sure that it's sustainable. Then you look at growth strategies to go, you know, rapidly, and then you can pick up the speed and accelerate. If you don't have profitability that's sustainable, any of the growth strategies that we're talking about, geographic expansion, franchising, IPOs, or whatever, will compound your problem. So one of the things to look at in timing is, are you profitable? Have you got the systems in place? Is it sustainable? When somebody quits, do you fall apart? When there's a major client that's giving you grief or is becoming high maintenance, does the profitability start to crumble? If your computer system's down, how costly is it? If you can't sustain some of the day-to-day operational issues, you're not ready for geographic expansion because it'll only compound it. Third point is marketing. You may feel that you're really exciting and popular where you are now. A lot of our businesses are grown by word of mouth. If you read one of our guests' resumes today in my interview, Raphael, you'll know what I'm talking about. I think I counted something like 20 boards that the gentleman's been on. And he's not alone. A lot of us have, you know, done this, you know, through association networking and people really knowing who we are. All right, well, you try making a location in, if you're in New Jersey and you're trying to expand to Kansas, they don't know who you are. And if that's been your formula for visibility and for expansion of business, you can underestimate. So one of the things that I learned, I was growing my consulting business, and it was going to be, I didn't want to be the only consultant, and we developed it to 6 offices. One of the things I learned over the years was to take a town, not just a town, but an area of a state that had a growing economy and the types of businesses that we served, and we had like a 6-step process for pre-marketing the office opening. So we would look at an HQ or one of those flex space kind of offices, and we'd do a series of speeches in the area. We'd join the Chamber of Commerce. There'd be articles that were accidentally on purpose placed in the area. We'd start speaking as though we lived there. You know, it didn't matter where we lived. If you act like you're there and you're on the Chamber of Commerce and you're showing up, you can be part, you can have a presence in the community. And when we got to 16 clients that we needed to support an office, then we committed to having full-time staff. So we did that 6-7 times. And it was an important thing to learn, the process, not just of the demographics of is this the right place. When we looked at Kansas City, Overland Park is a really positive area. It's very one of the most wealthy areas in the country, rapid growth. We even knew where the office needed to be at the time. But we had an experience one time when we were looking at North Carolina. Let me tell you this story. All the demographic information said Research Triangle Park was really hot. There's growing companies like the ones we were working with, and we did our formula of 5 or 6, you know, various things that we did, and we couldn't figure out why it wasn't growing. And in this case, what happened is we did some market research. We did a focus group and interviewed the people that had said no to us. And they came back, and now listen to how they said it. I'm not mimicking anybody for negative, but I want you to hear how it happened. They said back, they're too local. I thought they said they're too local, like we're crazy. They actually saw us as too local. Now here I am, Aldana from New Jersey, and they would say my name is Aldana, because they're in the South, and they saw us as too local. One of the things that we weren't quite seeing is the objectivity, and sometimes a consultant being brought in from a distance looks like they're more objective. They don't know all your private information. And they actually valued the fact, if we were further away, we had to change the formula to think about what is the combination of local expertise and distance expertise to really make sure that the branch that we were opening made some sense. That was an eye-opener. So if it doesn't quite work, one of the things to do is get an objective appraisal of what are they saying no to. And it may be something that you're just not expecting at all. I never thought I would be told we were too local. Next point, financing. Now, this is the thing that scares an awful lot of people from doing geographic expansion. And we're going to talk quite a bit about that with the two guests. So I'm going to pass on that for a while, and we'll go back to it. And probably the biggest point, if you've got demographics figured out, and you've got your timing figured out, and you've got your marketing figured out, which is three big ifs, I think the trickiest piece is staffing. Do you take somebody who's from your existing organization and transfer them to Kansas City to open that office? Do you have somebody local who knows the people in the area so that they can draw staff behind them and then learn from the core business what the procedures are? Boy, I've had clients that have argued back and forth and back and forth as vociferously as you could possibly get an argument about what's the best way to do staffing. I'll give you my opinion. A combination usually works really well. When we expanded into Europe, it was important for us to have the people who were in our New England office. A few of them went over there to, you know, really make sure that what we were doing matched what we had been doing in our way. You know, the brand was carried. But if we didn't have somebody who was from Austria and Germany or France to be connected with the community and know what the companies are like, it wouldn't have worked. But the combination of local and corporate talent usually make the branch work, in my experience with most of my clients. After the break, I'll introduce my guest. This is the Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler.
You're listening to The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business. If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com, achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability. 401s, stock, mortgage, retirement, wealth. We cover it all. Voice America Business.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line, but what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker, The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business. You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, this is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Welcome back. Today we're talking about geographic expansion, and we're trying to do it organically, although we're going to be considering acquisitions when we talk as well. Our first guest is Scott Kinzing. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Aldana. How are you?
I'm saying your name right, right?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Well, everybody likes to have their name said right. Now, this gentleman is from The Bank. I always get a kick out of that. You know, it's like somebody said, we're going to just, beat out the other guys and just say, we're the.
It's always a good opening line when they ask where I work.
And they go, okay, which bank, right?
Right.
But they're a $12 billion bank in five counties of New Jersey, 30 locations at one point, now 28, but 10 more are coming.
Yes.
So he certainly knows about geographic expansion. And your background before you went with the bank, what were you doing?
Well, I started in banking right out of college, so I've been in it 32 years.
How did you know you wanted to be a banker?
I thought I wanted to be a lawyer, and...
I can see that.
Yeah, I thought, well, I need to make a few bucks while I'm deciding where I want to go to law school, and I got into banking and enjoyed it and have stayed.
Yeah, that's cool. Have you always been with this organization, or have you moved around?
No, only three banks, and for bankers, that's pretty good. In 32 years, I started with a large bank in Philadelphia right out of college, mm-hmm. then moved over to another growing community bank in New Jersey, they are now a large regional, and then helped start the bank 16 years ago.
That's really neat. You don't look like you've been doing this 32 years, Scott.
That's nice of you to say so.
Although today you've been shoveling snow, so maybe you're a little older.
Yes, it's snowing here in New Jersey, yes.
Yeah, we're in New Jersey, so anybody listening to this, you maybe have sunshine and you know, it being really warm, but we don't want to hear it. Rafael Cuellar is my other guest, and I've known him from the New Jersey Chamber of Commerce and some other places. His name is one of those things that keeps coming up. You know, one of those people that you see in the press and you see, you know, at the award shows and such. And Rafael, you there?
Yes, I'm here, Aldona. How are you?
Hello. You're the CEO of Echo and Sons. So
that's
it's
correct.
CEO of ECO, huh?
It's Echo and Sons.
I looked at that and I went, CEO of ECO. I can just hear your kids telling you that sometimes.
I'm sure.
Rafael was born in Madrid, Spain, to Cuban immigrant who had narrowly escaped Castro's tyranny. So you have an interesting background here.
Definitely. I'm actually first generation. I wasn't even born in this country. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. All the depth of experience you have, it's paying off in the business that you run.
Well, hopefully. I'd like to think so.
So he enlisted in the U.S. Navy at the age of 17, and he was on his way to becoming a Navy surgeon, and his father died suddenly. Do I dare ask what he died of? Or was, you know, obviously it was sudden. What happened?
My father had a sudden coronary and passed away right away.
Oh,
it wasn't anything we expected. None of us expected it.
So you weren't expecting to have to run the family business. Apparently he was healthy before that?
Yeah, he was totally okay. I mean, he was perfectly healthy. As a matter of fact, I had seen him 2 days before he passed away.
Wow. So he had been running a grocery company?
That's correct, which we still run today.
So you come in and it grew 25% in its first year from what I've been seeing, huh?
Yeah, it grew about 25% in the first year, and by the end of the first year, sometime in the middle of the second year, we doubled business.
And you have been growing this business enough and getting enough attention that the number of awards are kind of fascinating. You're on just about every board you can imagine. and you have a presidential appointee to the National Cooperative Bank and a gubernatorial appointee to New Jersey Right to Know Advisory Council, mayoral appointee to Patterson Restoration Corporation, yada, 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 yada. This is a busy guy, folks, as, you know, as everybody is nowadays, right?
You know, actually, a lot of that comes from my father. My father was very involved as well. And when I took over the business, I'd always heard as a kid, I mean, if you're going to be in business in, you know, a specific neighborhood, be it the United States, be it Patterson, New Jersey, or Passaic, New Jersey, be involved in what's going on.
So now what type of grocery store do you have?
Well, currently I have a small independent grocery store. We do very well, thank God. And we've been here for about 20 years. Before that, prior to this store, we had another grocery store, which is an independent as well, which we liquidated 20-some-odd years ago before we opened this one.
Now, you specialize in the Hispanic market?
Yeah, we are probably one of the better Hispanic operators in the region, I would like to think in the U.S., and, you know, that's led us to develop other things. As a matter of fact, I'm in the process of negotiations with Wakefern Food Corp. to purchase a ShopRite, and hopefully, God willing, I'll be the first Hispanic ShopRite owner that they've ever had.
Whoa. See, that's why he's on the radio here. Because he's going through the situation right now of wanting a larger outfit, right? So you're looking
Correct.
At a ShopRite store. And so you're going through these five steps we're talking about. Are the demographics right? Is the timing right? Is the marketing in place? Do you have the financing? And is the staffing?
Most
so we're
definitely.
We're going to have to hear that. But Scott, how about since you've already lived through a lot of this, how do you figure out, let's talk the demographics first, how do you figure out where your next location is? Do you have a strategic plan for where it all is? Talk to us.
Yeah, as you know, Aldona, bankers are, we're good at planning and strategizing, or at least we think we are, and we have a running 5-year plan, And a few years ago, we realized that we did well, but needed to expand and wanted to expand. And so we've adopted what we call an ABC growth strategy plan. The ABC stands for the three southern New Jersey counties that we weren't in. And we then started out doing our demographic research to decide where within those counties we wanted to expand.
Now, why did you know you wanted to expand? I know that sounds obvious to you, but how did you know you could do it?
Yeah, in the banking business, you know, when I got into the business, there was 17,000 banks in the country, went down to 14, now it's less than 10,000. And if you're not growing in our business, you're normally gobbled up. And we, you know, thought we had a good product, a good service level, and so we said, let's expand rather than have a bunch of bigger competition look at us to purchase us.
You can't tell a bank without a scorecard because the names keep changing.
It's incredible. I'm not proud of that in my industry, but it is kind of the way it goes. But the holding company that I'm with is Fulton Financial Corporation. It's been around almost 100 years, even though our affiliate has only been around 16 years. And if we continue to grow and expand our marketplace, we hope to be around 100 years, too.
So how about both of you? I mean, you're figuring out demographics. How do you go about it? Do you hire an outside company? Do you have inside people look at it? How do you recognize a good town? Raphael, how do you do it?
Well, for me, to a certain degree, it's been easy as far as the demographics are concerned. But regardless of it having been easy, because I'm actually moving my business a mile away from where I'm currently. So the demographic research hasn't been that difficult. I've been here for 20 years.
Just have a parade and walk them down the street, huh?
Pretty much. But regardless of that, you still do all kinds of demographic research. I mean, everything from going to the census and websites like demographicsnow.com, and the co-op itself provided us with a ton of demographic information to make sure we knew the specific breakups and things that would happen in any business.
Oh, so you're a member of a co-op?
Well, Wakefern is a co-op.
Okay.
Food Corp.
And the advantage of that was that they have resources like market research?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay.
That's one of the key advantages, that they have resources that I could never even dream of having.
Yeah, I have suggested that type of thing for particularly some of my retail clients, that, you know, take a look at a buying group or a cooperative before you start looking at, you know, expanding regionally because of the data that they have.
Definitely. I mean, here's my little pitch for the co-op bank that I sit on the board of directors of. I mean, one of the things we look at when we invest, outside of, you know, housing co-ops, obviously, when we invest in business co-ops, is their resource pool, and seeing how successful they can be using the resources that they have to bring new members in.
Gotcha. Now, Scott, have you had surprises, like there'd be a town that you thought was going to be good, and then the studies come back from the consultants, and they say, nope?
Not yet, although I do agree with Raphael. We've used a combination. I mean, there's plenty of information publicly available over the Internet and whatever, but we have also hired, when we've thought a particular market would be a good one for us, we've hired some outside consulting help, and that's been good. And so far, we've not expanded so far afield that we've been wrong yet, so to speak. Different challenges. In some markets, they're growing. The demographics come back, and they tell you that, you know, if you plunk a new branch somewhere within that market, you almost can't help but be successful. We have also, though, expanded into some mature markets, and we got back the information we expected as far as income and households and age. However, there's no growth going on there, so you're taking from your competition, so you better be right when you're expanding into those markets.
Right, but you know, like a person, a consumer that drives down the street wonders, how come all these businesses overbuild? You know, it's like they're all looking at the same demographic studies, and then the next thing you know, you have four banks sitting next to each other in a row, and you know they're not going to all make it. So how do you prevent that?
I would say that in my industry, you mentioned the example in the banking industry, you better know that if you're going into a market, regardless of the demographic information you've come up with, your niche, your strategy better also be appropriate for that market. If there are five other banks already there and you're all going after the same niche, then you're right. Some of those banks aren't going to make it. But we've moved into some markets where there's been plenty of competition, but we've ascertained that our niche will be better and is not being served by the existing competition, and so I'll go ahead and put a branch in the middle of the competition because I think I can still do well.
It becomes jeweler's role for bankers.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. I mean, and let's face it, there are certain corridors and, you know, we all look basically at the same demographic information, so it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, oh, this particular town or this particular highway and this particular market should be a good one. But, you know, every other competitor knows that too. You just better have the right niche and be good at or better at what you're doing than they are.
Yeah, but you're going to move right next to a bank that's claiming to be the most convenient, and the next one's claiming to be the most progressive. How do you win?
In my particular bank's case, our niche is service, and so I might still go ahead and build next to those two examples. However, if my niche was convenience and there was already two competitors there that were also claiming that was their niche and they had longer hours than I did or more internet services that I did, then, you know, I may say that's a good demographic market to go into, but maybe I better look down the next town.
Timing-wise, when you guys look at expanding, Raphael, I mean, how do you know it's the right time for you to expand? Is it related to the economy?
Well, not in my business. I mean, people eat always. They never stop eating, so the economy doesn't really affect it that much. It does somewhat because, you know, instead of people buying filet mignon, they're buying chuck steak, but margins are still margins, and you adjust to them. What really affects us as far as timing for growth is more so the opportunity for it, especially being an independent and being a small business. In my case, the opportunity presented itself with the co-op. The co-op went ahead and said, hey, are you interested in coming on board and joining our co-op?
Yeah,
I mean, obviously there's some other things that you hit the nail right on the head earlier when you were talking, and you were talking about, you know, you need to have certain levels of profitability and you need to have the ability to do this growth. And that's, I think, what really predicates the timing for you to decide and make the decision to move forward. You can't go ahead and grow if you're struggling in your current business.
Well, seeing your timing, it's time for our break. This is the Growth Strategy with Aldana Amber. We'll be right back.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Long. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Long. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Are you interested in the immigration laws that are increasingly affecting the way we all live? Then you need to tune in to Learner on Immigration every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Host Brian Lerner, a certified specialist in immigration and nationality law, will give you updates on current immigration laws and allow you to call in and have your questions answered. The immigration policies of this country affect us all. Find out how on Learner on Immigration with certified specialist Brian Lerner. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and today we have Scott Kinsing and Raphael Cuellar, and we're talking about geographic expansion. And on the break, we were talking with each other about timing, and I think the punchline sounds like, when you're ready, you need to do this, because if we're nervous about competition and you're looking at who else is reading the same demographics, you can really stall and get and make yourself fret and get worried and not do it at a time that you really should do it. So, Raphael, I think, you know, you were commenting on your timing when we took the break. How do you know that you're ready for this big store?
Well, there's a multitude of reasons. One is that I have no more room for growth in my current business. It is pretty much at a zenith. It really has pinnacled. There is very little room for growth in the four walls that I'm in now. So I needed a new four walls that were a little bit bigger than the ones I had.
And a lot of our businesses, people listening on the radio, they don't even have the four-wall problem. They have, you know, they can expand virtually and things like that, and I still see hesitance to expand sometimes. It's interesting.
Well, it's scary. I mean, expanding isn't, you know, one of those things you just jump into without being very sure, but it's that fine line with deciding whether you do it right now or whether you wait a little bit and become more secure financially or a multitude of things. So a lot of it is just exactly what it's called, timing. A lot of it is just how you feel about it.
You're really bright about marketing. Raphael, how are you getting ready for this launch?
Well, again, luckily, I mean, my new business is only a mile away from my current business, so a lot of my marketing is grassroots. I mean, everything from, you know, circular presentations and newspapers and, you know, local radio and, you know, New York Metro radio and things like that. And that's really going to be my huge marketing effort. I mean, you know, walking over to the church down the street in Passaic, there's more churches than any other city in the state of New Jersey. Literally, actually, that's a true statement now. So I plan to be involved with every single one of them and make sure that those congregations all know that we've moved.
And Scott, what do you do marketing-wise? You launch these, you know, branches. What do you do to make the buzz?
Well, we're lucky in that we do have a small but nevertheless a full-time marketing staff, and we do normally consult and then hire people, a specialist in a particular area. But as you know, banks have large marketing budgets. We do a lot of the same things Raphael talked about. We're in the newspapers. We do direct mail. As you know, we have grand openings with giveaways and gifts and toasters and all those kinds of things. We do some radio and some TV. So I'd say our marketing plan covers the gamut, and we do budget specific additional dollars in any new market where we're going to expand, not just rely on the old general marketing budget that goes up 10 to 15% every year for your company.
So what specific suggestions would you make about an opening?
Well, we find that it's important in our business to network with business leaders. So we normally have a VIP party and before the opening, and we have a grand opening that creates a lot of buzz. And around that, we do mailers and circulars with the giveaways. And I just think that's a key for us, because if you get a few of the right new customers doing their business with you, it's kind of like everybody wants to be with the winning team, and we find that that's been a very effective way for us to enter a new market.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
Just a quick question. I mean, as you plan on expanding, I'm assuming that at some point you're going to leave southern Jersey and move up into northern New Jersey.
Yeah.
For people who aren't aware, northern New Jersey is a totally different animal than southern New Jersey. One is a suburb of New York City, and the other one is a suburb of Pennsylvania or Philadelphia. So what are you going to really do to change your marketing strategy, and what kind of expansion plan are you going to have to grow in the north?
I'm
right.
Assuming that it would be different. Listen to the assumptions behind the question. Wow.
Yes. Well, Raphael, I don't want to sidestep the question, but We are in 5 of the 7 South Jersey counties now, and we're lucky in that within our holding company structure, there already is a bank in Central Jersey that is part of our company, and we're looking so to acquire possibly other smaller community banks in other parts of the state, and then eventually we would maybe collapse those into one charter so that we are growing organically within each affiliate bank's footprint, but then we would use the acquisition strategy to go into other parts of the state. And so that's a little bit of a cop-out, but that's the way our...
But that may be one of the reasons, yeah. Though.
No, and that's very smart. I mean, that's
yeah.
The way to do it.
You don't want to underestimate the difference in the cultures.
Good point.
I mean, I've been thinking about some of the other banks out there, and some of them have actually had to change their name.
Right.
When they did acquisitions. I mean, we all know of one big bank that had a name that was fine in the north, but when it expanded its footprint over, several states, it was better to take the smaller bank's name.
Yeah.
You know,
now, Raphael, Raphael, you'll keep the same name for your new location, won't you?
Actually, no, I won't. I'll be switching my names. Okay. I'll be using my previous name to leverage the market, but I will be switching names from President Supermarket to ShopRite.
Okay.
And you're not worried about that?
No, not at all. Actually, I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air to have, you know, somewhat of a large or a localized chain now be very demographically concentrated to a specific group of people and having an operator that can actually service them the way they need to be serviced.
But you got to point out it's the same person because some people...
Right, well, I mean, that's why when I do my grassroots marketing, that'll be a big part of it.
Yeah.
Raphael,
how much marketing percentage-wise do you think people have to set aside to do what you're talking about?
I'm sorry, you guys overlapped.
Either one of you, you know, what kind of dollars? I know we can't talk dollars for a branch, but is there a percentage that you set aside for marketing when you do a geographic expansion?
An expansion, yeah, I think so. Unfortunately, my business is very low margin. And because of that, there's not a lot of dollars that go to marketing. And I've actually had to separate a specific amount, a new amount, just for marketing into a new business or marketing a new location. And it's really not much. It's probably about 1% or so.
Oh, my.
It's actually less than 1% of my
own. Wow. Talk about tight. Scott, as a banker, that's got to make you think.
Yeah, we're a little different. Spend upwards to $40,000 to $50,000 just for the initial opening, the grand opening, the VIP parties, the direct mail, and the giveaways for each new branch location. And when we look at the total cost that we categorize into the marketing category, we spend about $150,000 per new location. So if we're going to do, actually, Aldana, you said 10. We're trying to get 15 new locations opened over the next 5 years. So if you did that, the 15 times the $150,000, that's new dollars over and above our existing marketing budget.
So you got to be pretty profitable to finance this, don't you?
Yes, and when we get into the financing section,
I think we just did.
Okay, well,
how did you do that?
Yeah, see, for the banking business, when timing's right, we had the right people, our staff had grown, and we were fortunate. We had the continued profitability, but we also have the capital. In our industry, if you're not well capitalized, the regulators won't let you expand.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of when we knew the timing was right, the financing / capital was available, and that's why we knew that we could embark on this 15-branch expansion because we had the recurring profits and the capital to do it, because we might have one or two of these new branches that take a little bit longer to reach profitability, which is generally about 3 years, than we expected, and so you've got to be able to withstand those couple that might be a drag on you.
What it makes me think, though, as to why the bankers sometimes say no to their customers when they want to do geographic expansion, because if they compared, say, Raphael's numbers to what a bank itself would be expecting when it was expanding,
right?
They'd be taking more chances than the bank would, right?
Yeah, and well, Raphael, I wondered as I compare you know, our issues in expanding versus yours. And as a banker lending into industries that expand like yours, I just wondered, you know, again, how did you go ahead and get the financing to do it? And you almost can't afford, none of us really can, but if your expansion, your growth didn't go well, you're going from one store to another one, you know, it's kind of do or die. You've got to make it work.
Sure. I mean, expansion is always a huge risk, especially when you're in a situation where you're not being regulated. It's all predicated on you for all intents and purposes.
I put a banker on the phone to scare you half to death.
No, not at all. But I'm lucky to a certain degree in the sense that my expansion is financed almost threefold. It's financed my own capital that I'm putting into it. The co-op is also helping with financing. And there'll be bank financing as well. So it became a threefold scenario instead of, just from one source kind of an issue, which made it a little bit more palatable to go ahead and take the risk, even
sure.
though it's still a huge risk. The more independent you are, the more of the risk you're taking as you expand.
Some of my clients have had to double their projections of cost when they've expanded. The most expensive expansion is your second location.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say that to the listeners, that when you're trying to project how much it's going to cost, it's a lot more marketing than you think. There's not people quitting that you thought were going to stay. There are hidden zoning requirements and, you know, engineering requirements or adjustments to the building requirements beyond what you think. And, you know, you do need to have a banker that gets this or enough profitability for you to not be so scared when you expand. After the break, we're going to come back and finish the conversation about staffing, financing and staffing. This is the Growth Strategist with Eldon Andler.
Hi, this is Katrina Campus from The Apprentice, and you're listening to Business America Radio.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ELDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability. Tune in every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for Big Business Marketing for Small Business Budgets. Big Business Marketing for Small Business Budgets is completely dedicated to helping small businesses thrive and be more profitable. On the show, learn leading practices for bonding emotionally with customers and securing lifetime loyalty. This one-of-a-kind talk show is hosted by Jeanette McMurtry, author of the book Big Business Marketing for Small Business Budgets, and John Cooper, veteran marketing and leadership consultant. Together, they will keep you up to date on marketing trends and how to create passionate customers for life. So log on to Big Business Marketing for Small Business Budgets with Jeanette McMurtry and John Cooper every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Strengthening your financial goals. The leader in business talk radio, Voice America Business.
It attacks the brain, and you might not know what hit you.
It's a stroke, and it can cripple or kill you.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face.
It could be a stroke. Get help. There's no time to waste.
It could even be a sudden severe headache without cause.
If you wait to get help, time lost is brain lost.
Maybe it's a loved one, slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
There are even more symptoms that I did not mention.
So call or hit the web for information and prevention.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org.
High blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity
all make the risk of a stroke more likely.
But remember, if it happens, do not delay.
Or disability might be the price you pay.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Today we're talking about geographic expansion with Scott Kensing of Bell Bank and Rafael Cuellar of Echo & Sons. We have to go back to Rafael because Scott and I are sitting there going, oh, wait a minute, tell us again about this money. All right, and we can't talk the dollars, but you're going into a shop, right? So you're talking millions. All right.
Yes.
How did the banks respond again? Tell me what happened.
Well, again, I was lucky to a sense because the co-op is helping with the financing and some personal financing, and then there's some bank financing.
Well, you're a good risk. There's no doubt about it.
But the reality of it is that, and we were talking about this during the break, was that you walk into a bank, and you walk into a bank and ask them for a couple $100,000, and they almost treat you like a second-class citizen if you're asking for a loan of that nature to do a business.
It's like a nuisance.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, if you walk in and you ask them for a couple $1 million, for the same type of business, it's so much more welcoming. They're so much more welcoming to you, and they're so much more receptive toward, you know, whatever business proposition you have to pose.
Rafael, I can't wait till I get expand into your market, Rafael, because I'm going to come right after you for a good new customer.
Well, there you go.
I'll tell you what, if our listeners only heard one thing in the whole hour, it's that sentence that Rafael just said. It's sometimes what happens to us as entrepreneurs, if we think too small, then what happens to us, we go to the banks and they say no, and it isn't just because we weren't, you know, worth the risk, it was that we weren't worth their time.
Right.
You go in and ask too little. It's not worth all the paperwork and the due diligence and all the things they have to go through just for, you know, that little bit of money. You know, they really want something big so that they've got skin in the game and you've got skin in the game.
You know, by that token, Aldana, small entrepreneurs as well, I mean, there are so many other resources that aren't necessarily banks that they can reach out to.
Right.
They're a lot more receptive to them. I mean, SBA and EDA and kind of resources are also fantastic resources for the smaller entrepreneurs.
And Aldana, I agree with your point. I've been a lender most of my 32-year banking career, and believe it or not, I've told many, many applicants sitting in front of me, you're going to still be undercapitalized. I'm doing you a disservice if I lend you this $300,000 when you really need $600,000, and so you need to work on your plan, come back, and I'd see myself much more prone to lend you the larger amount than to put you into your new business undercapitalized.
I personally think it's the biggest crime in the world when somebody goes bankrupt for $50,000.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, if you're going to do this, do this.
Yeah.
So, now, my other question for Rafael, okay, now you're going into a shop, right? And if I understand you right, they were kind of considering whether or not to get out of that location. So is it the food or the staffing that's going to make your store work?
I think it's definitely both. I mean, based on demographic, I mean, there's definitely a need for an adaptation of, like, the product mix in the store. But ShopRite and Wakefern is an incredible company. I mean, they've really started to get their act together as far as serving the Hispanic community. But by that comment as well, I won't take away from the staffing part of it. I mean, if you're going to have a business in a specific area, you need to staff it appropriately and accordingly. If not, it's not going to be successful.
Mm-hmm. So you're excited about it because you think you're going to have the right team. Are now they going to stay from the same store? Are you going to add people? What are you going to do?
I'm definitely bringing in my own team. Mm-hmm. I will be adding some people. I will be letting some people go as need be. It's a little bit different environment for me. I'm going from a non-union shop to a unionized shop.
Wow!
So there's some different rules and regulations that I have to abide by, but
you're
I'm pretty familiar
company.
With
it. You know that?
Yeah, right.
And any secrets, Scott, on staffing for you? Because I've seen some of my banking clients, they struggle with branch personnel, frankly.
Absolutely. I would say that we use a combination also, but I have said to my people as we're opening in new markets, the key is getting a market leader or two. We can bring in other staff to supplant, you know, those producers in a new market, but you'll either struggle or your break-even point out 3 years will not be met if you're not able to attract some, in my opinion, some business leaders from the new marketplace.
And some of the banks that I've dealt with, one of the issues is how long do you give the branch manager?
How long do you give them?
Yeah, how long do you give them? Because if they can't get things moving, change the culture, wake people up, you know, communicate the corporate mission and vision, and you're saying it's service. If they don't get it, then the people in the branch don't get it.
Yeah, well, basically I'd say if it's a new location, 3 years is what you normally project out before you can be profitable.
Mm-hmm.
However, we've seen situations where the person in charge wasn't getting the job done year one, even though we didn't expect them to be profitable. We did expect deposits and loans and non-fee income to grow at certain levels, and if those levels aren't being met, we've made changes, you know, in less than a year. We don't wait for 3 years and say, oh, it's now not profitable. It's time to make a change. So somewhere between, you know, the very first couple months up to 3 years is where we really have that that close look.
You know, but it's not just money, is it? I mean, even if it's just the bank, okay? It isn't just the dollars and cents of the number of their accounts and the profitability. It's also, are they your imprint? Are they your market? Are they, you know, you say it's service and that's your competitive advantage. They could be bringing in money. But what if your positioning in the marketplace starts to drift and you seem like in one place you're like another bank and in another place you're like what you used to be and another place you like what you're becoming and you end up being everything to everybody, which means nothing?
Yeah, we call it branding. We know that we need to really focus on the branding of who we are and what we want to project to that marketplace as we expand. And you're right, if that marketplace doesn't know what the bank is all about, whether we're a convenience player or a service player or a price player, you know you won't be as successful. So we absolutely try to focus on the branding of who we are to that new market.
I've had to deal with consultants, you know, I had 87 full-time consultants, and, you know, I've had to let some people that their availability is going great. And, you know, they're making us money, but you have to let them go because they don't get, you know, the idea of we're really, it's almost like an advocacy business. It is not just about strategic planning. It is about being a partner with your clients, and it's not just words. And you're an extension of the CEO's office.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, if they don't get that, then you're actually just another management consulting company.
Yeah.
You know? So, and we, you know what we found in ours, if you guys would be interested in this? We found the people who had combined degrees, like if they had a master's in, say, psychology, and then a master's in business, something like that. If they had crossover degrees in a few fields, they had a better shot at communicating our culture and our brand than if they just had, like, say, strictly business or strictly finance.
That makes sense to me. I can understand why that would work.
At first, though, I didn't see that at first. Do you find that there's a specific background or training, Raphael, for the people who really get it for your brand?
Well, my business is very interesting because you've got to understand the grocery business in general. You're not talking, most of your staffing is not college educated. Most of your staffing is people who are doing, you know, a job for $7, $8, $10 an hour kind of thing. But your key management type people, most of them are college educated and very well prepared. And what tends to happen is the people you would never expect. You would think that the people that come in with MBAs or people that come in with, you know, bachelor's degrees in business are going to be your better business, are going to be your better operators or
not
your better
necessarily.
Employees or not.
No.
Usually it's the people who come in with, like, a degree in French or in Spanish or something like that.
But you get to the point where you're looking for a certain type of person. It's not,
of course,
ethnic background or height or anything like that. But there's, like, a value system.
You look for a specific character.
Yeah, the character's the question, isn't it?
Yeah, character's a big part of it. In my business, you want that kind of person who's a consistent go-getter, who's always on the move, who you know, constantly is looking to improve the business for you.
See, now we've come full circle back to last week when we talked about culture. I want to thank our guests for today. The time has just disappeared on us. Scott, you were wonderful. Raphael, you were great, as usual. So if you're looking at geographic expansion, it does come down to demographics, timing, marketing, financing, and staffing. And we went right back into the concept of what is your brand, what is your culture. In next next week we're going to be talking with Ed Quirk and Vin Izzy. Wait till you hear these guys. They're fabulous. They're going to talk about strategic alliances, particularly with large corporation when you're a channel partner. On March 15th, we're going to be talking with Scott Fishman of Research by Design and Julie Cook of Elegant Editions to talk about specialization. And on March 22nd, we're talking with John Martinson of the Edison Venture Capital Fund on venture capital. And March 29th, we're going to be looking at growing your business through attracting top talent with award-winning Linda Rosanio of Star Advertising. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. I'll talk to you soon.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.